Welcome, everyone, to another episode of ServiceNow Insights. And today we're getting deeper into the world of AI, but from a different perspective, that of starting out as an intern here at ServiceNow. And I want to welcome back Jordan Shelton and Cynthia Mathenge, who are going to be our guides for this episode entitled Engineering Now Unlocked. And Jordan and Cynthia, you've joined us before and you gave us a lot of great information. But for those of us who haven't met you before, please introduce yourselves.
Hey everyone, I'm Jordan Shelton. I'm a technical program manager for the AI engineering and delivery team.
And hi everyone, I'm Cynthia Mathenge, and I'm a business operations manager for the AI engineering and delivery team as well.
So let me set this up because the audience for today sounds kind of specific. If you're just starting out as an intern at ServiceNow, or you've just accepted a return offer and you're trying to figure out what comes next, this conversation is built for you. But Jordan, really anyone can benefit from the guidance of our guests and what they're going to share today.
Engineering Now Unlocked exists because Cynthia and I believe early in career engineers deserve straight talk, not just the polished version of the ServiceNow story. I work in engineering programs here, and a big part of what I do is connecting interns and new grads to the people and conversation that actually matter. That's exactly what today is.
Exactly. And so if you're coming back today, hey, it's really great to have you. You know, as a business operations manager at ServiceNow, I've really lived a version of this journey that a lot of our listeners are about to start. I built my entire network here remotely, which I know sounds daunting, but I prove it's possible through this episode today. I show up here because I remember what it felt like to not know what I didn't know. And honestly, sometimes I still don't know. And I want to make it easier for all of you.
Today, we have two guests who are going to make all of this very real. Ian Thurlow is a senior manager in data platform software engineering here at ServiceNow. He runs a team of engineers every single day, which means he's the person actually deciding who gets hired and what sets someone apart. Ian, you're up.
My name's Ian. I'm a software engineering manager and working in the data platform here at ServiceNow.
And we also have Andrew Yan, who's a software engineer on the Data Foundations team. And genuinely, the perfect person to be in this conversation, because Andrew was an intern here first. He made the jump to full-time during the pandemic, and he figured out a lot of this the hard way. So he's here today, so you don't have to.
My name's Andrew. I have been with ServiceNow since around the start of the pandemic. I got my opportunity to join as an intern, and then I was able to transition full-time, and I'm currently working as a software engineer in the Data Foundations team on the application development side.
We're going to cover a lot of ground today, what AI actually means for your day-to-day as an engineer, how to show up and make an impact from day one, what the first 30 days really look like, and a round of this or that to find out what kind of engineers Ian and Andrew really are. Let's get into it.
Yeah, in some ways, things are completely different, but in other ways, they're basically the same. We're still the same team working on new features and existing defects, but we've been sort of handed this really powerful tool that essentially changes the way that we execute that work. Lately, I've been leveraging Claude Code to ask questions, introspect about the code. Someone asks me a question about the code, and you know, maybe it's some code I haven't looked at in a while. So I say, hey, Claude, how exactly does this work? Show me all the classes that matter. And I start digging into that. So that's really helpful for me. I've also been using it to assist with code reviews. Say, hey, Claude, I have this code review from one of my engineers. Review it for me. And, you know, sometimes it helps. It does catch some stuff that I wouldn't have probably caught on my own because it really looks at the code and tries to run it, right? And it can figure out, you know, possible issues there. You know, the one piece that has changed is I really start with AI when there's a problem in front of me, you know, because you used to start with Google, right? But now you're starting with Claude or you're starting with ChatGPT or whatever. No matter what the problem is, like it could be like my dishwasher's broken. You know, the first thing I'm going to do is say, hey, Claude, why is my dishwasher broken, right? And I think that's changed for almost everyone in the world. Like we've gone from this like digging through Stack Overflow, digging through Java documentation to having all that in one place for us. And that's really it's really an accelerator more than like a, you know, really like changing the world. It's making us do our work better.
Accelerator, that word stands out, Ian. It's not replacing the work, it's speeding up the people doing it. Andrew, you're living that day to day right now. What does that actually look like from where you are?
The day to day job is still pretty similar, but like you said, like you have like this supercharged tool at hand. I'm still writing code, but it's more so also on the side to better understand the code itself too. Because I feel like with AI, one, speeds up your development time a lot, makes you move a lot faster, but also on that same note, like it can potentially help you move into the wrong direction. So now all of a sudden, like the bottleneck in development isn't so much the speed of writing code, but it's all the other parts of it, like testing. There's a lot bigger shift on design and focusing and making sure that everyone understands like the problem statement at hand, because like we can develop so much faster now. So I think one big thing is like when I look at a problem or like an engineering task given to me, it's like I have to think more from the perspective also as like a not just as an engineer, but also as like a product designer, like product manager, like really thinking about like how else I can leverage Claude to help me encounter these problems.
Bedrock, that's the word I keep coming back to. Everything they're describing, the AI, the speed, the tools, it only works if you have something solid underneath it. And Cynthia, that's exactly where our audience is right now, about to build that foundation. You want to take them into what this actually means for someone starting out?
Beyond the tools themselves, has AI changed the way that you think? Like, has it shifted how you approach a problem, how you learn something new, or even how you evaluate your own work? Andrew, you kind of talked a little bit about this and how AI offers you a different perspective and you're challenged to think of a problem in different ways. So can you speak more on how it's shifted how you approach or how you learn something or even how you evaluate your own work?
When you're developing, I think there's this notion of like the rubber ducky method that people talk about a lot, where it's like you get to kind of explain out your thoughts, write it out, or talk it to a rubber ducky per se, and use it as a sounding board. And I feel like using AI as a chat tool or like whether it's writing code for you, it's like a supercharged version of that, right? Like I can have a conversation with Claude and it really helps me dive into my code. It's as if I'm speaking to a senior engineer who is pretty well knowledged on the code at hand. So it makes it a lot easier to do independent work in that sense.
Because, you know, sometimes other tools are very positive. Like they encourage you even if you're doing and saying the wrong thing. Some tools, you'll say 1 + 1 = 3, and they'll be like, yeah, you got it. Whereas Claude is like, oh no, check your work one more time. So, you know, I think that's really interesting. Ian, has leading a team through this kind of changed your leadership mindset at all?
Good engineering leadership is kind of timeless, right? It's about treating your engineers well. It's about challenging them and growing them. You know, that's the most important part of my job. And that has not changed at all. The only mindset shift is like, maybe a slightly higher expectations for productivity, right? It's like, hey, you have this accelerator, like go faster, right? Push the gas pedal. And especially the earlier in career folks, like it's a huge accelerator for them because getting ramped up on, you know, legacy code bases is pretty challenging. And so that's kind of like really pushes them to the next level. One change I will say is whenever anyone asks me a question, I'll be like, what did Claude say?
I kind of like that because it almost empowers you and enables engineers to seek out different tools and different ways to help themselves before having to speak to somebody. I know I feel that I have personally gained a lot of growth whenever I have to discover answers to my own questions. So Andrew, I guess, you know, sometimes we feel a little bit threatened with all these new tools knowing everything, but how do you feel? Has working alongside AI tools changed how you feel about them and what you bring to the table? Are you still confident as a software engineer writing code, knowing that there's a tool that can basically produce almost the same thing?
I mean, the big thing to note is that like it's the end user prompting it. Like it's an engineer at the end of the day prompting the code. And your ability as an engineer, from my perspective, isn't measured by, you know, how much code you can output or writing it. It's more so like figuring out the problem statement, like pointing it to the error. A story I would like to bring up is I remember one of my staff engineers that I work with often, he was mentioning, oh man, like I'm able to, you know, fix this test issue so quickly with Claude. Like he was able to like write out the code really fast. And he's like, man, I'm kind of worried, like he's doing so well. And I'm like, all right, well, how'd you prompt it? He's like, oh, well, you know, I mentioned that the change is right here. There's a lot of dependencies that rely on this change, you know, take a look at that. And I'm like, well, you're kind of giving it the exact like pathway to success. And all it's really doing is filling in the lines for you. So that first step is really where, you know, most of the difficulty lies in, and in that it's the cloud is able to code fast, but it can't figure out all like the pathways for all for you.
I almost think of it like having a car with no steering wheel. Like, you can't drive if you don't have the steering wheel, and somebody has to be in the car. Well, I guess with the exception of Waymo. Okay, that's a little bit different.
There's actually some people that, especially the most senior engineers, they're not getting the same level of value from AI as the like earlier in career folks. Because I think to a certain extent, they have so much more context in their mind that Claude can't really consider. Because, you know, if you've been doing this for 30 years, you know, you can still ask Claude to help you do stuff, but at the same time, it's not going to have that same context that you have unless you give it to it, right? And you can't just like dump your brain into Claude, which would be pretty cool. I do think that these, like the thing that always, that people always bring up is the calculator, you know, was going to make mathematicians obsolete. But that's not true at all, right? It made it so now they don't have to do these basic or even complex things on paper. Now they can do it in an automated way, but we still have people, mathematicians, we still have statisticians, we still have all these people that are applying those skills. And I don't see how this could be different. And I do think there are some jobs that will be more affected and will be, you know, more accelerated by AI. And it'll be interesting to see how that, you know, sort of comes to fruition in the next few years.
To piggyback off Ian's comment, like the fundamentals are really important now, because they're not really gated again by your development speed or like if you know how to use like a certain framework or tool or language, for example. It's like if you know the fundamentals, that's like a solid bedrock where you can start building anything off of, right? Mm-hmm. And like now it's like, oh, you could prompt Claude, for example, to build this tool in like this language, right? But you still need to know the basics of like how pieces interact and stuff. And so having that as a basis is really important. I feel like that's more so than ever now.
With the future being so unpredictable, especially for our early in career talent, for someone who's just starting out as an intern, a new grad, someone just about to step into their first engineering role, which congratulations to you. Ian, I'm going to ask you that question first. How is AI changing what it means to be good at your job in terms of how you evaluate people who are just starting out on your teams?
Andrew hit on it in the last one. It's about the fundamentals, right? Anything that mattered before AI still matters after AI. You better have good learning ability, right? That's number one. Can you learn on the fly? Number two is, do you have that strong computer science background? Do you really know how systems work and how they fit together? Because these AIs they're just accelerators on those existing fundamentals. So if you don't have those good fundamentals, like you could make something, but it's just going to be slop, right? And you don't want slop going into production. Like, you want good quality stuff that's been reviewed by professional developers. Even if it was generated by Claude, it better have, you know, good testing, and it better have good quality of the code itself. That's the stuff that matters. That's the stuff that's going to make you better and make the AI a better accelerant.
I love how we talk about going back to the fundamentals, because when we think of it, it's like writing a book. For example, you can't write a book if you don't know how to write a sentence. And before you can write a sentence, you need to learn your letters and your words. And you can't really put things together without understanding how to build all of these individual things, right? Andrew, I have a question. Do you think that AI with the new expectations are kind of raising the bar for early in career talent, or lowering the floor, or a little bit of both in terms of the expectations that we have on them?
Honestly, a little bit of both. Lowering the bar in the sense that you don't need to be a rock star and know every single language or have like super, super deep experience with a specific framework or tool. But raising the expectation in the sense that like, you're able to do a lot more on your own now, right? Like, if you encounter a problem in AI or in your day-to-day and you prompt Claude, like, it gives you a plethora of answers, and you have like this engineer, like a senior engineer, quote unquote, like at your fingertips, ready, like listening and ready to help you engage in any other task. So that part speeds up productivity for sure. And I think, at least in my opinion, for early in career folks now, it's like, it's not, you don't just have to focus on your day-to-day development skills anymore. You can really focus on other things that help you stand out as a better engineer. For example, I feel like communicating and being able to explain your thoughts and presenting to like a team or your engineering team, that those skills are just as important, if not more than before.
We call them soft skills, but they're truly not soft skills at all. Like, they're basic survival skills because we all have to work with other people. We're not working with computers all the time. We need to learn how to communicate. So all of these skills, we need to practice them all the time.
I love that you reframed that. Survival skills, not soft skills. Because that's exactly what Ian and Andrew are describing. All of it. The fundamentals, the adaptability, the perspective taking. It adds up to one thing. So let's close this out with one big question for both of you.
What are other qualities that you now prioritize in early and career talent?
Being able to solve computer science problems without having an AI available, and just understanding the basics of how things work. Because if you don't know those things, you can't effectively prompt the AI. I just care about the fundamentals. I care that you know your computer science and you have that strong background. Like, you need to know the theory and you need to have some ability to write code without any AI.
I guess just expanding outside of just your day-to-day job as like a developer of writing code, kind of putting on that other hat of like trying to understand your product from like a different perspective, like as like a product designer, like a product manager, or even like a user. I think that helps you develop better, faster, and make better decisions for your product and grow to be a better engineer.
Open to change. It's not about knowing everything up front. It's about being willing to move when things move. Ian, same question. What's the mindset shift you want them to carry?
I think the biggest thing is to try to keep up with everything that's changing, and really leveraging all of the pieces that make your AI stronger. So like for Claude, you know, there's Claude Code, and then there's all kinds of pieces that you can add into it to improve the way to improve its context, to, you know, create like automatic commands to do stuff for you that you do repetitively. Make sure you're taking advantage of all of that. And then just as the big changes happening, just make sure you're aware of them so you can continue to leverage them and not fall behind.
So what I love about this conversation is that it's not just about AI in some abstract way. It's about you, how you work, how you think, and how you show up. AI is not really replacing curiosity. It's not replacing creativity. And it's definitely not replacing the people who are willing to lean in, stay adaptable, and keep growing.
And now it's time for This or That, which if you were with us last episode, you know how this goes. Fast answers, no overthinking. Let's see what Ian and Andrew are really about. First one, dark mode or light mode?
Is this even a question? It's dark mode, right?
Dark mode immediately.
I'm the odd one out. I'm using light mode.
What?
Oh no. We're gonna have to get you to stick over.
How about this? Stand-up meetings, should we love them or should we lose them?
Well, I run my own stand-up meeting, so I guess I have to say I love it.
Oh my God. All right. I'm on the side. I don't love it. If it's lasting like an hour, then maybe it's not a stand-up anymore, you know?
No, 15 minutes or it's not a stand-up. Like, if you can't stand up for the whole meeting, it's not a stand-up.
Oh, true. I like that. Yeah. If you can't stand up for the whole meeting, I'm going to be using that.
Side project on the weekend, yes or absolutely not?
If you're doing a side project for the love of the game, you know, you got a cool idea, please, by all means, go for it. But if you're doing it because you feel like, oh, you really like just got to do it to stay ahead, I don't know. That leads to burnout, man. I'm all about longevity in the career.
Yes, living in balance is really important. I agree with you, Andrew.
I will do a side project occasionally. So I'm not like absolutely no, but I do, you know, if there's some like new tech or something I want to explore and I can do it in a side project, that's cool. But I'm not like every single weekend, you know, grinding on some project that I was never going to see the light of day.
Andrew, when you were transitioning from intern to full-time, what's something you wish someone had told you beforehand? Something you had to figure out the hard way?
I think this applies for my internship to full-time and also even just like my first year as a full-time employee. Like a couple things. One of them being I joined during COVID times, but I wish even afterwards I went to the office a little bit more. You know, we're all kind of used to that remote working style, but oh my God, going to the office made one, my day-to-day way better, you know, get to interact with people, interact with my team. And it's also so much easier to learn that way as well. Like, yes, you have Claude, you could like message to ask any questions, but Also, you got your teammate. If they're co-located with you, you could bring them aside, ask them something, and learning that way is also much, much easier. And I feel like as a new hire, like being able to learn in person is just way, it just speeds up the process so much more. It gets you up to speed faster. The second thing, everyone on my team said this, but I wish I participated in code reviews in a lot more when I was earlier in my career. It's something I'm still improving on now. But I feel like code review is a process where it's like everyone kind of, it's a necessary evil. Like we have to do it, you know? And now with AI, like that's kind of becoming the bigger bottleneck because everyone's writing code so fast. But code review is hard, you know, but it's one way to like quickly learn and really contribute back to the team as well.
The code review point, that's one I don't hear people talk about enough. It's one of the fastest ways to learn, and most people treat it like a chore. Ian, Andrew just painted a picture of what it looks like to come in hungry and humble. When you see that in someone new on your team, what does it actually look like from where you stand?
So the biggest thing is someone who's hungry for knowledge, and has like a growth mindset where they're like, I know there's stuff I don't know. I want to go find it out. And when they do start digging into something, they dig deep and they try to understand it fully. And a lot of engineers, they kind of like, oh, okay, I get it, but they didn't really get it. Like they understood the execution flow, but they didn't understand the underlying pieces that really matter. So that's the most important thing. And then the second thing that is super important as an early in career employee is you try your best to answer all the questions that you have, you know, either using, you know, AI or whatever tools you have at your disposal. And then only bring the absolute hardest questions to your senior engineers. And specifically in batches, be like, you're just keeping notes all day of the questions you have. And like, okay, maybe this is just a one-off, no big deal. It's not blocking me right now. So I'll just write it down. We'll come back to it later. And then when you get the time with that senior engineer, you can say, hey, I have these 8 questions that I'm wondering about. Can you clear up some of these, some of these questions for me? And then the last thing is writing great tests and really thinking through the edge cases. That can really set someone apart. Someone that says, hey, I see this problem. Here are, 10 possible inputs that the user could do, and they thought through all 10 of these. That's super rare at a earlier in career level as well. So those are the things that come up for me.
No question is too small. That's something I come back to every time. Ask it, write it down, find the answer. That's how you build the foundation Ian was talking about. Cynthia, you've built your entire network here remotely. You know better than anyone how important those early relationships are. Talk to us about that.
I've actually been remote my entire career at ServiceNow, and I can say the best way that I've been able to meet people is joining the employee resource groups and just in general being curious. Sometimes I go on the org chart and I'm like, I wonder what this part of the company does. I usually find somebody who's at a similar level as me, and I usually reach out and say, hey, can I set up some time with you to learn more about your day-to-day? That's how I've been able to grow my network within ServiceNow. So, Andrew, before you officially started full time, how did you stay connected or start building relationships within the company?
I think it was just like showing up to stuff. I was lucky to be able to go to the office pretty often. Like, for example, there were a couple events, and I got to go to both the San Francisco and the Santa Clara office. And I think that really helped my networking ability because I got to talk with a lot of people who were just outside of my day-to-day teams who I normally wouldn't get to interact with. And I got to see like the things that they're doing. And then by virtue of that, like you kind of get to explore and experience things that you're interested in. I think this right here, being able to participate in this podcast was an example. I went to the San Francisco office, met some people there. They introduced me and they told me to, take a part in this application engineering mentorship program, which connected me to Angie, which connected me to you guys. And then all of a sudden, I'm doing things that are outside of my day-to-day job, but I really enjoy.
So, Ian, from the manager side, you've had returning interns come back, people who already know people on the team. Does that actually change anything? What do you notice?
It's great, right? Like especially like returning interns who know people from last year, they're already familiar with each other. So the, it's kind of greases the wheels to get work done when people are already familiar with each other. They already know that, this person's someone I can rely on. There's someone who's, can do quality work. And it just makes it so, because if I know somebody and they reach out and ask me for something, right, I'm more likely to be like, yeah, I can help you out with that. But if someone I don't know, it's like, hey, well, we're going to have to put in the priority list, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the first step is just to try, right? Like, you have to put yourself out there.
I think the most important thing is just, you know, do as much, like find the docs that exist for your team, you know, and read them as best you can. Usually someone's written something down. Sometimes the documentation's not great. Actually, frequently the documentation's not great. But we do have official ServiceNow docs, so that's a really good place to look. And then just start digging through the code, start asking Claude questions about the code. And then hopefully someone's going to, you're going to have a boot camp that you're going to start learning in. And then hopefully your manager will give you some kind of defect or something to take a look at and just, you know, start asking Claude questions, start asking questions of your senior engineers. I think that'll be the best one.
On that same note, you know, you probably get assigned a ticket to work on and then start digging into it right away, you know, dig deep, try to understand every facet of it. I think one thing to make sure of is it's really easy to say, hey, Claude, can you help implement this for me? But it's still important to write it by hand because that lets you build that understanding. Because again, like you can write code fast, but you got to make sure you know what you're doing. And I feel there's that paradox where it's like you build that understanding via writing code and kind of going through all those different pathways. But if you have AI just implement it for you right away, you know, you can get it wrong and then you can't really help course correct it. So getting into and writing code and kind of solving that way helps you build that understanding.
We've covered a lot of ground today. AI, day one, the first 30 days, and how to build your network. But before we let you go, one thing each. Ian, you've told us what you look for. What's the one thing you want to leave them with?
Figure out how to use Claude in the most effective way. There's so many training videos out there. Just watch those. And then also make sure you've got your CS fundamentals down pat.
Andrew, you came up through this program. Last word goes to you. What would you want them to remember?
Figure out, you know, what tool works best for you, whether that be Claude, Codex, anything available. Make sure you kind of dial in your workflow and be open to change. And then also just be excited for, you know, the internship and also whether you're converting full time. I think it's a great company to be in. Also, there's a lot of learning to be done. And I think it's an exciting place to start your career.
So for every intern and anyone else who just accepted their return offer, you've already cleared the first hurdle. So now it's time to prepare like a pro. Take these insights from Andrew, from Jordan, from Ian, and put them into action and show up ready.
Don't be a stranger. We mean it. Thank you to Ian Thurlow and Andrew Yan for giving us the real version today. And to everyone who is getting ready to start, we'll be watching for that message.
You know, Jordan and Cynthia, I'm not an intern, but I feel like I have a much better footing on my career path here at ServiceNow, and not just AI in general. This is a really great topic, and I am super excited to hear some more of these episodes coming up where you're going to talk to more of the people in the internship program and more of who people are going to meet. Jordan, just to recap, why is this topic so important?
Yes, this topic is important because starting an internship or a full-time position on your first day can be scary in a Fortune 500 company. But this is where the growth and development comes into play, especially since you are early in your career. AI is growing day to day, so this is your time to lean in and learn new innovations and developments while also building meaningful relationships and growing within your own self. Build that personal brand.
Well, Jordan, Cynthia, I couldn't thank you anymore, and I think the audience is going to really get some great understanding today. If today sparked something and you want to know more about AI and engineering career or what's being built here at ServiceNow, you can reach out to Jordan Shelton and Cynthia Mathenge or anyone in the engineering team. And as always, check out the show notes for links to more information on what we covered. And be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode of ServiceNow Insights. I'm Bobby Brill. Thanks for listening.